If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm home. Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Inside the Ropes, episode 95, only 5 weeks to our 100th episode. I'm joined as always by Finn Martin. Hi Finn, how are you today?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, not too long until episode 100. We haven't got a clue what we're going to do for it, but hopefully we'll do something exciting.
Yeah, we'll do something. We'll figure something out that hopefully honours 100 episodes.
Exactly, but I mean, every episode's exciting, I think, Kenny.
Of course, and speaking of excitement, Finn, I know that you're going to be over the fucking moon, because they have finally announced who will be singing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania 35. Now, I know, Finn, that you in the past, you've enjoyed the big acts like Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles coming out and singing WrestleMania, America the Beautiful.
What about Boys to Men at WrestleMania 15?
You were there for that. I'm sure you were humming along to the harmonies from Boys to Men.
Exactly. They were booed when they came out. They were booed when they were in the ring.
Can't imagine why.
I believe they were from Philadelphia as well.
However, this year, the WWE has announced that they've got Grammy Award-winning gospel singer Yolanda Adams. How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10 for Big Yolanda to be coming out and singing the national anthem?
10, Kenny. I'm thrilled. Can't wait for it.
What's your favourite Yolanda Adams song?
America the Beautiful.
Well, actually, you know, to be fair, you know, on a more serious note, there was another announcement about a singer at WrestleMania 35 this week, and it culminated as well in you realising that your dream's not going to be coming true, and Barry Manilow is not going to be singing Mandy, because they've scrapped the match on the card. So are you coping okay?
I'm all right. I'm going to be all right, Kenny. You know, I've been, with the support of friends and family, I'm getting through this difficult period. But Joan Jett, I like Joan Jett. I know it wasn't Joan Jett's number, it was a cover, but I love rock and roll, soundtrack to my youth. So I'm a fan of Joan Jett. You know, it's not Barry Manilow, but it's not far off. It's a pretty good substitute.
It's a decent substitute. So, Joan Jett is going to sing Ronda Rousey out to the ring with Bad Reputation, which should be a pretty epic entrance.
I would think so. It was funny seeing the Rousey's Facebook post about it. She was like a total giddy kipper, wasn't she? She was like, she was just like, it was really just such a natural response from her. She's so excited about it, so good for her, you know?
Yeah, I'm hoping this year we get some good, you know, big WrestleMania-like entrances. We didn't really get that many last year.
No, you're right, we didn't. I'm not quite sure why. I always remember the set when they were previously at MetLife Stadium being like their best set ever. So I'm imagining that they're going to try and outdo themselves this year. So, I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. I think that's a huge part of WrestleMania. I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah, because WrestleMania 15, another one you were at, they didn't really do a lot of musical performances at that point, but it has in later years become kind of part of what you go to it for.
You know, definitely. I mean, I thought it would have been WrestleMania in 2013, because they brought Living Colour in for to do Cult of Personality, didn't they, for CM Punk?
They did, yeah.
And I think there was a couple of other acts. Did
they also had P. Diddy, or as he was known then, Diddy, singing Coming Home. I think what makes me laugh is his name is Puff Daddy, then P. Diddy, then he had to just be called Diddy. And Diddy in the UK, I mean, I don't know if this passes to England, but in Scotland, Diddy means something very different.
Well, to me, it's an innocuous term, like Ken Dodd and the Diddy Men. That's what Diddy meant, and Diddy means small. I don't know what it means in Scotland, and I don't really want to know.
Well, a diddy means like a fool. Like, what a diddy. Okay. But there's also a diddy ride, which you can look up yourself, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying it. Yeah, so here's the... What does Diddy mean in Scotland? In England, Diddy means small, tiny, yes, or the rapper P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, whatever his name is. In Scotland, Diddy means a female breast.
Oh, the, I didn't know that.
And the example given was, the gobshite shouted, show us your diddies, so I kicked him in the shins.
Is that from the Urban Dictionary?
It is. You...
That's a dangerous site to visit, I feel.
It's you can go down a whole rabbit hole. Anyway, so but yeah, it's good when they get the musical accent and it feels a little bit special.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it feels really big. You know, I mean, I always remember, like, I think Motorhead played Triple H to the ring for the first time at WrestleMania 17. I think that's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, he did it at 17. They did it again at 21.
Yeah, and I always remember that being that feeling, like, you know, that felt huge at the time, you know. And yeah, it's great to and I think Joan Jett will, it's going to be a really big thing. She's from that sort of, she's from that area. So I think it's going to get some, it's already got them huge publicity. I think you'll get publicity afterwards. Really, I just think it's a really, really good appointment, definitely.
So I wanted to ask you about the ROH New Japan Supercard, which is coming up in New York the night before WrestleMania.
Okay.
We've got the full card now. The card is going to be the Honor Rumble. Osprey, it's a winner-take-all match for the never open weight and the ROH TV title, Will Osprey against Jeff Cobb. Got Rush against Dalton Castle. Mayu Iwatani against Kelly Klein for the Women of Honor world title. Bully Ray against a mystery opponent in a New York City street fight. Taiji Ishimori against Dragon Lee against Bandido in a three-way for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Winner-takes-all four-way tag team match for the IWGP tag titles and the ROH tag titles, which is Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, Villain Enterprises of PCO and Brody King, Evil and Sanada and the Briscoes. Then we've got the British Heavyweight title, Zack Sabre Jr. against Tanahashi, Naito against Ibushi for the IWGP Intercontinental title, Jay Lethal, Marty Scurll, and Matt Taven in a three-way ladder match for the ROH title, and the main event, singles match for the IWGP title with Jay White and Okada. Overall, with this being the kind of full card, the final card, what do you think about it? Because it was quite interesting that the secondary market for this show, the ticket price has actually gone down quite a bit.
Right.
And the, right, the ticket price now is like $40 or something like that. So
is this for the ticket touts? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so like on StubHub. So you can, okay, you can sometimes gauge your interest of a show by how that market is going. So the for example, one of the biggest secondary market prices was for NXT TakeOver in Dallas in 2016, the debut of Nakamura. And that was like $200 for the cheapest ticket to that show because it was sold out. But the this card has actually gone down in price. So I'm curious because I don't really know enough about it as a New Japan ROH fan. But do you think that the card now, we have the final card, is it a big card? Is it living up to, you know, MSG the night before WrestleMania? And why do you think that the interest level for getting a ticket, I guess, has gone down?
Well, the last question's pretty obvious. I'll answer the earlier question first. I think this is as big a card as they could have presented, given the talent at their disposal. We know why this isn't the hot ticket that it once was, because the members of the Elite are working for All Elite Wrestling. And that has overshadowed this event. Even though there isn't an event produced by All Elite Wrestling that weekend, their show is in Vegas in May. But that's the reason why. And I think if Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, I think if they'd all been on this show, and maybe some of the other people who are aligned with All Elite Wrestling have been on the show as well, then I think the secondary market prices would have been a lot higher. I think most people would agree with that. I think the show seems pretty strong to me. I think it seems as good a show as they could have produced or arranged with the talent that they have available. So I think it's going to be a really good show, Kenny. I don't know what the reactions will be on the night. I think probably people will have come to terms with the fact that the people that they thought might be there are not going to be there. I think everyone accepts that now, or at least they hope. I hope they do on the night for Ring of Honor and New Japan's sake, and that there isn't, you know, some revolt in the audience that they would rather have seen. We want, you know, hopefully they won't be like, we want Cody or we want Kenny or we want these chants. Hopefully they will support the people who are there. I think the talent and the whole lineup and everything, yeah, I think it looks pretty good. What do you think, Kenny?
I'll be honest, it doesn't really do much for me. And I think that's because, like, I don't really know a lot of the characters, and I'm more kind of character story based than wrestling based, you know. So I've not heard a great amount of things about Jay White as the top guy. Okada, I think someone who I'd be more interested in seeing him against somebody that I know, you know, like a Jericho Okada match would have probably interested me quite a bit if they'd been able to make that, because I know that Jericho is allowed to work whatever he wants.
All right.
Apart from WWE, like he's still. I think Jericho and Omega are both the guys that have the deal that if they want to work in New Japan, they can.
Okay.
But yeah, just for me, it's not a slight on the show, but it's not a card that is hugely appealing to me. But then I'm not really in New Japan. I don't really follow New Japan or Ring of Honor on a regular basis. But I think that if you are a New Japan fan, I think it might be exactly what you want. You know, you're getting all the big names, you're getting all the ones that you want, you're getting Tanahashi, you're getting Naito, you're getting Okada. So I'm hopeful that for those people that they're getting what they want.
Yeah, I mean, Jay White's their guy. They put the belt on him. I mean, Jay White versus Okada is a huge match for them. I mean, the idea, I would assume that Jay White, I don't know whether he's going to retain the belt or not, but if they believe in him, then he really needs to retain the title. If they really think he's going to be this long-term champ, I'm not sure whether he's going to retain or he isn't. But, I mean, it's a big match for him. They're trying to make him into a legitimate force, somebody who really everyone views as a top guy, including people such as Zelf Kenny, who don't really keep up with it. So that's going to take time. But they're really giving him a chance to be that guy that they think he can be. And I think there's some other really big matches on there. And I think a lot of the matches will really deliver as well. If they brought Jericho in, it would have cost him a lot of money. And then, you know,
and if they've sold out already, they don't need to spend the money.
Exactly. And then it's like a case of, why are we bringing this guy in? It's going to cost us all this money. He's actually an All Elite Wrestling guy. That's kind of how people are viewing him now. So maybe it makes us look kind of weak if we're having to use one of their talents. Probably same goes with Kenny Omega. They didn't want to use Kenny because he's now aligned with All Elite Wrestling. From what I understand, there was a lot of heat between Kenny Omega and New Japan over the whole way it all ended anyway. So I'm not sure whether how that relationship is at the moment between Kenny Omega and New Japan. I know things genuinely were bad. Certainly between Kenny and Tanahashi, really bad, genuinely. So I'm not sure where they're at in terms of putting that back together. I think they will work together again. But I think right now a lot of it is the symbolism of it, in that All Elite Wrestling's got this big show in May. This is who our guys are. This is where you have to go to see them. And I think if Ring of Honor and New Japan were relying on them, it kind of makes them look weaker, because they're not believing, they don't have faith in their own talent to be able to carry this huge show, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that makes sense. And speaking of Madison Square Garden, PW Insider have reported something pretty interesting, that WWE is planning on returning to Madison Square Garden this September to film Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
Raw would be Monday, September 9th. SmackDown, Tuesday, September 10th. They last ran MSG for a TV event for the live Raw on November 16th, 2009, so 10 years ago.
Wow.
Are we to assume, what do you think the motivation is for them going back to film TV at the Garden? Is there any guesses that you can have?
Well, I mean, were some people thinking that perhaps WWE would sever its relationship with MSG due to MSG booking Ring of Honor and New Japan? Were some people imagining that, Kenny?
I think people were wondering what Vince was going to do, because Vince probably wasn't going to take this line down. But then, you know, at the same time, it's, you kind of have to, if WWE are not going to give MSG any sort of TV shows or anything, then why can MSG not let somebody else do a show?
So, well, exactly.
Because, I mean, as far as I'm aware, they only run once a year in MSG at Christmas for the house show, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of back in the day when they go there every 3 or 4 weeks, and even into the 90s, they were going there, I think, nearly every month. I think into the 90s, they were still doing monthly shows there. And then it became far more sporadic, less frequent. So, I mean, I just think to myself, well, if WWE isn't, they had the exclusive there as long as they ran it frequently. The fact they're not doing that anymore means that, yeah, why can't MSG book other wrestling companies? And that's exactly what it did. I mean, I think WWE still has, is going to preserve the relationship with MSG due to its history with the company dating back to the very beginning of the World Wide Wrestling Federation in 1963. And before that, when Vince Sr. was promoting, before the World Wide Wrestling Federation was formed that year. So, I mean, I always felt that they were going to keep this relationship going. And it's a prestigious venue. And if they're running TV there, Kenny, those tickets will sell out because it's that long since they've done TV there, as you've just pointed out. And I think people will want to go and just watch wrestling at the Garden, you know, because of WWE's history in the venue. So, you know, I think this was inevitable. I didn't think that they were ever going to be a part of the ways. It's not like MSG needs WWE to continue to succeed, is it?
No, it's not like that at all. I mean, I'm glad they're going back because I always remember the infamous first Monday Night Raw they did at the Garden in September 1997. You know, yeah. they did that great opening video package of the history of the Garden, and it's the night that Austin stunned McMahon, and we saw the return of Cactus Jack, and we went off the air with The Undertaker, you know, double chokeslamming Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. So, to me anyway, as a wrestling fan, Madison Square Garden is a special venue.
And of course it is.
I think if WWE can go back to creating some moments in that venue again, that's something I think a lot of us would like to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I would like to watch a wrestling event, a WWE event at Madison Square Garden live. I just think it's one of those things that all of us would like to do, you know, like going to Corcoran Hall, or obviously you can't go to ECW Arena anymore, to ECW, because that's in the past. But I did do that, and that's something I was really pleased that I was able to do. So I would like to see WWE at MSG. I'd love to for that to happen, because I just feel like as a wrestling fan, it's kind of one of those things that you sort of need to do, isn't it?
It's the bucket list.
I was
lucky enough to see WrestleMania 20 in the Garden. And that what kind of made that special for me was that they still had the old, entranceway. And they used it as a kind of LED screen. They didn't use that as the actual, you know, entranceway. But even to see that entranceway, which is what, you know, I remember growing up, I remember watching WrestleMania 10 and seeing that little entranceway. So even though that's gone now, I think that they've not run any form of TV in Madison Square Garden since that small entranceway has been taken away. Because when they ran Raw in 2009, they used, I don't know if you remember, they used that small entranceway.
I believe, was that the episode where Roddy Piper was in the ring and Randy Orton was out and Kofi Kingston was late coming out?
Yeah. Because it was it was where Vince came out and Vince and Piper had a thing, and then Orton came out, and then that was the main event where they did a 3-way tag match with DX, Jericho and Big Show and Undertaker and Cena, and Undertaker Tombstone Cena at the end of the show.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I do remember that episode. Yes, absolutely.
So, but I'm glad they're going back. I think it'll be good that they go back, and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's part of their history, and I'm glad that it's continuing. I thought they would be able to straighten this out, and that, you know, there's too much history there really for them to be at odds. So I'm glad that they're working in harmony again.
WWE announced this week to everybody that the women's match with Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair is going to be the main event of WrestleMania. It's going to go on last. It's been made official, so they can't really go back on the word. Do you think this is the right match to close the show? And why do you try and kind of analyse for us how the rivalry's gone, where it is right now? Is it the deserving spot to be the main event?
Well, I think so. I mean, the reaction from the crowd in Boston on Raw on Monday was universally positive. I mean, it was just people. I mean, what a great crowd on Raw Monday. That's it. You want that crowd there every week. You know, Vince should just fly them all in each week. Well, that might be cost prohibitive. But I mean, I thought the response to the announcement and certainly to Becky Lynch's appearance, and then Rhonda came out and Charlotte's there. And it's just like, I thought that opening segment was dynamite on Raw this week. I thought the responses were exactly what WWE wanted. In fact, probably better than they could have hoped for. I think it's the right year for the women to headline. They've got the right setup there. They've got the right feud. I think these three are going to do really well. I mean, regardless of whether you like the outcome or you didn't, that Charlotte Asuka match on SmackDown was a tremendous match. Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series, I think, was the best women's match. Well, it's the best women's match I can recall seeing in WWE. And I think all three of them are so motivated to go out there and have a classic. I think they could well succeed. So, yeah, I endorse this decision wholeheartedly, Kenny. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is the this is the match to do it. I know Ronda Rousey did a YouTube video where she had mentioned, you know, we're the test if this can work. You know, this if this is ever going to happen again, if women are ever going to have the chance to main event WrestleMania again, you have to do it this year. These are the three women that have to test if it can work. And yeah, and these three women should be main eventing. Becky Lynch is the hottest act in the company. Ronda Rousey, I think, is the best heel going in the company. And Charlotte Flair, I think, will make the match better by being involved in it.
Yeah, definitely. With the three of them, there's so many more things they can do in a triple threat match. There's so many more ways of making it work. And I think even if it was a singles match between Lynch and Ronda Rousey, I think that would have succeeded as well. And I think that would have been big enough and good enough to close the show. And also, I think it's going to be refreshing not to see Roman Reigns in the main event and to see three people out there who will get the reactions from the crowd that WWE wishes for. So that will be refreshing as well.
I guess we should talk about instead of going through Raw and SmackDown this week, there's not really a lot of stuff to go through. So we just talk about the big elements.
Okay.
Let's talk about this main event and the kind of implications it's had. Because on Raw we had, you know, Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte doing the beat the clock thing, which is now going to lead to the three of them facing the Riot Squad next week. But on SmackDown, a pretty surprising, shocking decision was made when they had Charlotte defeat Asuka to become the SmackDown Women's Champion. Now going into WrestleMania, Charlotte's the SmackDown Champion, Ronda's the Raw Champion. They decided at the last minute that the Asuka-Mandy Rose match, which was the plan match for WrestleMania, Mandy Rose was going to win the four-way on SmackDown. They decided to take the belt off Asuka. What do you think about the decision to take the belt off Asuka and to put it in this, to put it on the, in, I guess, the stronger match? And was it the right decision, do you think, if the match with Asuka that she was going to have with Mandy Rose, let's be honest, was never going to be in the main show? It was, you know, pre-show at best. Did they make the right call? And what do you think of the decision to switch the belt so close to WrestleMania?
Well, actually, you're wrong there, Kenny, because had they struck that deal with Barry Manilow, that would have been on the main show.
Okay, I stand corrected.
I don't think, even though I enjoyed the match, I thought Charlotte Asuka on SmackDown was a big match. I thought it was very well put together. Fans were, again, crowd just really into it. You know, fans, I mean, tremendous crowd at both Raw and SmackDown this week. So congratulations to them for responding in the way that WWE would have liked and the way that I wanted to see or witness people responding. I don't think it really enhances the WrestleMania three-way, the fact that there's another title involved. I don't think it really makes that much difference. I don't know whether they made the right decision or not. I mean, it's a shame for Asuka because she's in this position. We've been talking about it for really since the week after Raw Rumble, that she's sort of been lost and meandering, just rudderless. They got like really no direction for her. And that's a real shame for her because she is a real talent. And I thought she came out there on SmackDown this week. And even though she obviously knew she was losing, I thought she had a game face on at the start of the match and she was bringing it totally facially. And I thought she did everything she could to make that match as good as it could be before she ended up tapping out to the figure eight and relinquishing the title to Charlotte so that she could drift into obscurity and Charlotte could headline WrestleMania. I mean, I think we really need to acknowledge here, Kenny, the professionalism of Asuka. Can you imagine what was going through her mind when she was told what was going to happen? I mean, what a disappointment that must have been. I mean, she's probably now going to be in the Women's Battle Royal, I guess. I mean, that's probably her only role on WrestleMania, you would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really bad for Asuka. I mean, I can't say I think the decision's the wrong one, because I think that I said this to Sandra, they're in a really weird spot where they do not have enough women of the level that they need to be at to have two titles. They just don't. You know, Asuka is so far and above every woman on the SmackDown roster. There's just nobody that's even competition for it. You know, that's proven by the fact, remember when Mandy Rose pinned Asuka on SmackDown a few weeks ago?
Yes.
And we were raging about it. Oh, God, why is she pinning Asuka? But then if Asuka keeps pinning everybody, then where is the story? Where's the interest? So they're in this weird position where if any of these other girls who are not anywhere near her level beat her, it looks bad. But then if she just keeps beating everybody, there's nothing interesting going on. So she's kind of in this weird placeholder position. So
a lot of that, Kenny, is because it's not that they don't have enough women, they just don't have enough women who are good enough. I mean, you've got what I call the Elite Four. You've got Charlotte, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Asuka. You've got those four, and then there's just a massive gulf between the next, you know, the next band down. It's like they're the A band and the rest are in like the C or the D band, or even E or F or G band if we're talking about Lana. So I mean, you know, you've got this massive great gulf between the top and the bottom. It kind of reminds me of All Japan in the mid-1990s, where you had Mazawa, you had Kobashi, you had Kawada, to a lesser extent Taue. They were your four big All Japan Japanese guys who could headline, and they were always trying to find somebody else. I mean, you had like Steve Williams and Stan Hansen and some of the others who could also main event. But it was like this huge sort of drop-off between the top and the mid-card of people who just weren't good enough to headline. And we're in that situation with the female performers in WWE, where you've got quite a lot of, you know, you've got your Naomis and you've got your Sonya Deville's, you've got your Mandy Rose's, and they're not really seen as headline title caliber performers. You know, if they were to hire, for instance, someone like Tessa Blanchard, who's somebody I've put over before on this podcast and in my written work for Inside the Ropes as well, she could come in and she could be a credible challenger for Asuka on her first night there. So it's not that they don't have the numbers, they just the people they've got just aren't good enough. So that's something WWE needs to rectify. Something really they should be thinking ahead on, Kenny. You should be thinking ahead on this one and getting things in order.
Well, they have a long-term problem that, you know, you're not going to fix, right? Like, I said this to Sandra. I think they should unify the titles right now, because I don't think there's enough talent for two. And I think that, like you say, there's the four. There's the Elite Four. And you can't just have the four of them feud all the time.
No.
And you've got other talents like Nia Jax can have some decent matches if she's led to it. You know, Ronda Rousey proved that. But at the same time, it's just, you know, I'm sorry to like the Carmellas and the Mandy Rose and the Sonya Deville's. They're nowhere near good enough.
No.
So, you know, you need to take a look at either what's happening in NXT. Because why were they called up? They were nowhere near ready. So they've got a long-term problem they need to try and fix. And I think they're taking the belt off Asuka and putting on Charlotte is a short-term solution. I do understand, because at least the belt is involved in the big match on the show, and it's not in this pre-show nothing match. But then, what's the answer post WrestleMania? How do you then fix it after that? I don't know what you do.
Oh, presumably, I guess when they do the shake-up, is that probably the champion will vacate one of the titles, then there'll be a tournament, maybe they'll bring some people up, I'm not really sure. Maybe they'll bring Rhea Ripley up or someone like that, who they think might be ready to be champion, or maybe ready to credibly oppose Asuka. I mean, it is a really tricky one, yeah.
Shows you that, you know, Vince McMahon's got this kind of... you know, he loves Mandy Rose, so he'd wanted Mandy Rose to be feuded. Even Vince, you know, eventually just kind of came to TV and was like, yeah, this just isn't good enough.
It's not good enough. I mean, this is the thing, but some people are never going to be good enough, Kenny. I mean, they're just never going to be good enough, and it just doesn't matter how hard they try. You know, it was the same as I was just talking about All Japan more than 20 years ago. All those wrestlers on the undercard tried really hard, but some of them, they just didn't have the ability to be as good as the top four. And that was just the way it was. And that's the way it is in most things in life, is that some people are just better than others at some things. So, I mean, yeah, Mandy Rose, to me, I don't see her ever being a top performer. And we talked about this at the time. Why the hell were they thinking of splitting up her and Sonya Deville? They were not a bad team. Did really well at Elimination Chamber. You know, why try and make her a singles player when at this point she certainly doesn't have what it takes and probably never will? You know, and that's just the way it is. So, yeah, they need to bring in some talent who are good enough to battle Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Ronda Rousey and Asuka. I mean, if Ronda Rousey leaves after WrestleMania, I don't know whether she's going to or she's not. I'm not sure where we're at this point. If Ronda Rousey goes, that's going to leave a huge void in the division. You can't really do that many more Charlotte versus Becky matches because that's been done to death. Same goes with Asuka versus Charlotte or Becky. That's also been done to death. So they're going to have to find some new talent who are good enough to oppose these four or three if Ronda leaves. So this is up to WWE to get its act together here, Kenny.
We actually do have a listener question, which I think is probably the best part to ask. Now, Graham Wright asked us, obvious one, what's next for Asuka?
The Women's Battle Royal at WrestleMania, which she probably won't win. Because, I mean, how can they really put her back in the mix now? I don't know. I mean, probably a tag team. She needs to. I mean, if you think back to the Carmella feud last year, which was really damaging for her, what they did was didn't really dwell on her. She teamed with Naomi quite a lot, didn't she, Kenny? That's what she did after
that.
Yeah,
she did. Yeah.
So there was a passage of time where memories were allowed to fade of the Asuka versus Carmella feud. And this is a booking trick they've been using since the beginning of time. And it does work really well, especially in the modern era where people have quite short memories. So you just book her in something that doesn't really matter. And then maybe in 2 or 3 months' time, because she's so good in the ring, she can then be pushed as a star again. Maybe if Rhea Ripley or someone like that is brought in to win the vacant SmackDown or Raw women's title after it's vacated. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm just kind of thinking ahead. So maybe at that point, if we have a Rhea Ripley or someone like that who's champ, then Asuka can be booked against her as a credible challenger. I think something like that's going to happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's probably going to win the Women's Battle Royal, or at least be in it. But yeah, I just don't want to keep having the conversation about women's wrestling in WWE. You know, like Sandra and I had the discussion about, and I get what some people mean about, you know, if you unify the women's belt and you don't unify the men's belt, you're sending like a bad equality message. And what I said with Sandra was, the problem is though, there's maybe five good female wrestlers in WWE right now on the main roster. There's like 25 male good wrestlers. So they need to get more good women wrestlers. I'm not saying they're not out there, but I'm saying until you have them, I just don't think anybody really wants to sit through, you know, Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. Nobody wants to sit through that.
No.
And, you know, they're not coming up with good enough, because if they were coming up with good enough stories to surround this the lack of in-ring aptitude, that'd be one thing. And the problem with Asuka is that Asuka doesn't really have a character because she's foreign and she can't really do the promos. So you have to focus on Asuka's in-ring performance. And if you put her in there with people that can't wrestle very well, then you're not even getting to see the best parts of her.
No, so, you are. No, and that was definitely illustrated by the quality of the match with Charlotte on SmackDown, just how much better that was than most of the matches she's had on SmackDown or pay-per-view since Royal Rumble.
So let's talk about Raw, first of all. Was there anything on Raw that you liked or didn't like that you want to talk about? I thought Raw was a pretty boring episode this week, pretty forgetful, but was there anything that stuck out to you?
Well, I mentioned the crowd. I thought the crowd were amazing. I mean, I actually quite enjoyed the show, Kenny. Sorry to disagree with you there. But I just thought it was a pretty good show. I mean, Balor I mean, it was that Finn Balor versus Lashley and Jinder Mahal match was a bit odd. That was a bit of a strange one, actually, wasn't it? Where Balor had to win in order to receive a title match with Lashley at WrestleMania, and he pinned Jinder Mahal really easily. So that was a bit weird. I thought it was really good that Lashley was irate afterwards. That's something we don't see enough from heels. They're not getting really angry when something doesn't go their way. Why don't we see more of that, Kenny? And I thought Lashley was great here. I really enjoyed that. Presumably, we're going to have the Demon versus Lashley at WrestleMania. We've seen the poster, so I think that's fairly obvious that that's going to happen. We had a Drew McIntyre and Reigns segment. Some of the content with that was a bit uncomfortable to listen to from Drew. But I think overall, the segment was strong there with Reigns nailing Drew and then Drew making his comeback and leaving Reigns laying. So I thought that was decent. I thought Natalya versus Sasha Banks was amazingly heated. Just like, wow, you know, this crowd's fantastic. I even enjoyed that. Tamina Snuka and Nia Jax ran in. Beth Phoenix gave Snuka the glam slam. Gave Tamina Snuka the glam slam. You must have been impressed by that, Kenny.
I mean, I enjoyed that, of course. Of course.
Hart Foundation to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Brett's already in there. We didn't mention Harlem Heat going in, did we?
We did not.
I mean, Booker T, the talent of the team, he went in 2013. So don't really get that either. A lot of people like the Moment of Bliss with is it Colin Jost and Michael Shea? I don't really think that much to this segment. I mean, Jost and Shea have been entered into the Battle Royal. Alexa Bliss now has the ability, Kenny, to make matches. So they're in the Battle Royal. So we were talking earlier, about Braun Strowman. Actually, this was in the Sunday Night Heat podcast, wasn't it, Kenny? When we were talking about Nicholas,
it was.
Sorry. So Braun Strowman, yet again at WrestleMania, it's not exactly going to be a superstar performance. So his main opponents are two people from Saturday Night Live. A lot of people like this segment. I really didn't. What did you think to it?
Yeah, I mean, the Saturday Night Live thing is not really... It's like they're celebrities, but they're not really celebrities MD knows.
Yeah.
So they don't really have packed the punch that a celebrity should punch. But then, like, today we're in this weird world where in 1985, you know, if you had Cyndi Lauper or you had Mr. T or whatever, or Billy Martin, everybody knew who they were. They were big names. Whereas now it's like there's so many people who are quote-unquote famous. You know, where they've got an Instagram page that's got a million followers, whatever. So it's not the same thing. So I feel like the celebrity thing is very hit and miss, and this one just kind of doesn't hit for me. But it's just kind of disappointing to see Braun Strowman doing something like this again. It's just
just feels like a step backwards to me.
There's nothing better we can do. I mean, this is the third year in a row that Braun Strowman doesn't really get a WrestleMania match. But he really kind of deserves one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I read something on Facebook. I mean, he's at the point now, Braun, where people could start booing him. Because, I mean, it's impossible to believe in him as a babyface. It's impossible that he's ever going to win the big one because he's just failed too many times. So I didn't really like that. Apparently, Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin's still on. So not really a fan of that. I don't think we need to dwell on that match. I don't know whether it's still... I don't think it's going to happen on the night, but they're still promoting that match as a WrestleMania match. I thought Seth Rollins did well on the mic opposite Paul Heyman. I thought Seth Rollins came across as somebody that you could believe in can beat Brock Lesnar, unlike Braun Strowman. So I quite enjoyed that. What did you think to that segment, Kenny?
I mean, it's about the whole Corbin and Angle thing watching the matches that Angle had last week when he had Samoa Joe on Monday, AJ Styles on Tuesday. I just don't really know if Kurt Angle's capable of having a proper match anymore.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, I kind of go, I'm not saying Baron Corbin's the right opponent because he's not, but I just don't know if you put him up against Cena or Undertaker or these people that I think people would want him to face. I don't know if they. I just don't think they would be what you'd want them to be. So yeah. I don't really know what you do. You know, he put a post out yesterday on his Facebook page that I'm going to try and find, where he kind of acknowledged, you know, he said, let me just find it for you.
He mentioned after it was first announced, didn't he, that he acknowledged that some people were not happy with Baron Corbin as his opponent in his last ever match at WrestleMania. So that's something that's been acknowledged really since the start.
Yeah, he said yesterday, WrestleMania is around the corner, my very last match. I know it's not the old Kurt Angle everyone has wanted, but I'm proud knowing it's the new Kurt Angle that has been clean for almost 6 years. Thank you to all those who have supported me throughout the good and the bad. I love you all. So I'm happy that he's getting a moment. I just don't know. I think actually him wrestling on Raw and SmackDown actually is lessening the desire to see him wrestle at WrestleMania.
Yes, I agree.
So I think that they maybe missed a step with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the matches he had with Samoa Joe in TNA, and they were obviously a lot better than this, particularly the first run of matches when he arrived in TNA. Joe looked, to me, he looked overweight, sluggish. It looked like Angle was really struggling with him. So, it was a decent match. Angle won. But, I mean, we've seen so much better from those two. So, yeah, I'm in agreement. And really, when he was in there with Styles, I was quite relieved when Randy Orton, on SmackDown this is, I was quite relieved when Randy Orton ran in and interrupted the match, because knowing how good those two had been in TNA again and again and again, there was no way they were going to measure up to that standard. I thought the way that they actually worked it with the ankle lock and the calf crusher was actually really smart, because they were just doing selling rather than doing lots of high spots. So, but I was pleased when the match came to an end, because I knew it wasn't going to be the same as it was. It couldn't be. And he acknowledges that as well.
On SmackDown, obviously the big story was Kofi Kingston finally getting his opportunity to go to WrestleMania when the New Day ran a gauntlet and they were able to be successful and Kofi got the shot. I guess my question, I'll ask you the same question I asked Sondra yesterday. Do you think that Kofi winning last week and getting the shot would have been better, or do you think that including the New Day here and kind of having them fighting for their friend was a good way to tell the story?
I don't think it really makes that much difference. I mean, the fear, of course, was if Kofi had done it last week, what would they have done with him this week? And we've seen this with many WrestleManias in the past, where the hype and the storylines have peaked too early. We've seen this time and time again. So I think they did the right decision. I think they made the right move. I think this was the right decision to do this, because the fans were really into it. It was a nice twist with the Usos coming out and forfeiting the match, because they respected the New Day and they felt that Kofi Kingston deserved this title match with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And then the very last team were Bryan and Rowan. And I thought Bryan was... I really enjoyed seeing Bryan and Rowan have the tantrum in the dressing room with them chucking chairs around, Bryan putting his foot through a telly. I've always wanted to put my foot through a TV, Kenny, and I've never done that in all my years on Earth. I'm so jealous of Daniel Bryan. But I thought that was, again, mentioning earlier about Lashley being livid that Finn Balor had won this match and would receive a title match. Great to see heels selling stuff, because a lot of heels are just too cool to sell. So I really enjoyed seeing Bryan and Rowan throwing things around. That amused me. Then they came out for the final match. New Day had to, or rather Big E and Xavier Woods, had to defeat Bryan and Rowan to win the gauntlet and to ensure that Kofi Kingston would receive the match with Bryan at WrestleMania. And the fans were so into that final period. Big E pushed the table over onto Rowan and they won that final match by count out. So, I mean, I thought it was a big success. And as I said, had they not done this, what would they have done instead to maintain this level of energy?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good. I think that the idea of the New Day, you know, very rarely in wrestling do you see two people fighting for their friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, I mean, look at the Shield, you know, when they first broke up, it was like Roman Reigns had no, you know, never helped Dean Ambrose when he was up against Seth Rollins. Whereas, the New Day, they're putting their careers on hold because they want to get Kofi to the spot. And I think Kofi is the fair play to him. I think that he has really stepped up and I think he deserves to be in the match.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite funny. I just finished my WrestleTalk magazine articles this week and I actually wrote a feature on Kofi Kingston. And when I submitted the article, I didn't know that Kofi would definitely face Daniel Bryan. So I was very, I was extremely pleased when that was confirmed on SmackDown. So I ended up calling the feature The Accidental Superstar, which I thought was a pretty good title. I'm really pleased with the article. So I will let you know when that magazine's out.
Let us know. That's Kofi Kingston is a guy who, if he wasn't going to get this chance now, he maybe would never get it. So,
exactly. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
To sort of round out the podcast, got a ton of listener questions I thought we could tackle if you're up for it.
Yeah. Can I just mention a couple of other things from SmackDown? Is that all right,
of
Kenny?
Of course you can. This is your forum to say whatever you like.
All right. Yeah. Miz and Shane will be a Falls Count Anywhere match.
I like that stipulation.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely approve. I think it gives them more scope to do things.
Makes it a different match in the card.
Definitely. I was having flashbacks, though. I don't think Shane would do this at the age of 49. But remember when he took those completely mad bumps from the top of the Titantron?
I mean, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would write him off yet just for that. I think he might do it.
I think Shane's now too heavy to do anything like that. He's too heavy. I mean, I know he did that crazy bump in the Undertaker match, but those matches, was it one of them was against Big Show, I believe, wasn't it?
Where he took Backlash 2001.
Yeah, and I think he's too heavy. I think he's too old, and I think he's too rich. Hopefully too sensible as well to do anything that crazy. But I think the Falls Count Anywhere stipulation will give us some type of WrestleMania moment. I hope he's going to be all right. I'm sure all the safety precautions will be taken, but I really approve of that stipulation. I thought that was very well done. And you know, Miz, it was a bit ridiculous when we had Miz out there, then Shane comes out and security there. Shane insults the Miz's father. Then Miz batters through security, destroys Shelton Benjamin's sanity. All these other people. I think one of the clones was out there in a rare appearance on SmackDown. I mean, that was just, it was a bit ridiculous. It was like Cena style, where he just cut through everyone. So I thought that was a bit ridiculous. But I definitely approve of the stipulation. Also, one thing that cracked me up, I don't know whether you caught this, Kenny, but I thought I'd mention this for your benefit. When Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev were coming out for the Gauntlet match, one of the commentators, I'm not sure which one it was, said that Lana was the brains of the operation. I mean, that explains everything, doesn't it?
I just can't talk about her. I'm so angry about her. She tried to make out, like, you know, the women in the four way. She, you know, now they understood why she felt so salty. And I'm like, no, because the women in that match actually have some talent. You know, like, I honestly think, see Carmella could either go to NXT or go to another company. You know, go and wrestle across the world for a couple of years, and I think she could be good.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it's a lost cause. Naomi's shown some good in her. Deville and Rose are not what they need to be, but I'm not saying that they'll never get there. Lana will never get there. She is bad at wrestling.
Yes.
I was younger, I was like, I'd love to play the guitar. Can't do it. Not my skill.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I'm still trying to play the guitar, Kenny.
I'm sure you can, though.
I still can't play it after all these shirts. And also, can I just mention as well, I enjoyed the opening segment with Daniel Bryan, The New Day. Well, there's actually one point that I didn't like, where the sort of New Day are threatening to quit, and then Vince comes out and he's kind of browbeating them. He's kind of humbling them, saying you're never going to quit. And it almost felt like one of those little sort of, you know, art imitates life type scenarios where don't you wrestlers ever get any ideas of forming a union or demanding anything more than we're prepared to give you? So there was elements of that I didn't really like, actually. But I thought the overall point of it, you know, it got us the Gauntlet match and it got us the Kofi Kingston. He got us to the point where Kofi Kingston was appointed as Daniel Bryan's challenger at WrestleMania. So it was. It did succeed in the end. It achieved its goal in the final segment of the show. But so that was SmackDown. Again, I enjoyed the show and the crowd were really good. So I thought this week's TV was a double thumbs up, Kenny. I know you didn't like Raw that much, but I did.
Yeah, I liked SmackDown. I thought Raw, for me, it wasn't that it was a bad show. I just thought that you could have missed the show and there was nothing really storyline-wise that I needed to see. That was I was hoping for more. I was hoping for Ronda, Becky and Charlotte to do something more impactful. But it wasn't a bad show. I think it's just 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I would have liked a little bit more that got me excited.
Well, I thought the Beat the Clock challenge was a lot of fun. I thought that was really well done.
It was fine, but it was like, it doesn't really make any sense.
Well,
like,
no.
Like, so why is it that if they can beat a jobber, that means they have any more kind of, you know, go ahead in the match at WrestleMania? It doesn't really make it. I know they're trying to do something, but to me, what I want to see is I want to see the three of them in the ring fighting their case and having a really heated segment. That's what I'm looking for. So, anyway, so
yeah. And just finally, Kelly, also, if you want to talk about things not making sense, why exactly was Charlotte given that title match with Asuka on SmackDown? I mean, yep. She was the one, you know, she was the one who actually came last in the Beat the Clock challenge. So there was not really an explanation as to why she was receiving this title match. And the announcers were expressing shock that the match was happening. So if you want to talk about things not making any sense, that to me is the top of the list this week.
I do want to just bring up very, very quickly before we... Oh, no, no, actually, we'll do the questions. I'll bring it up in the overrun. So we've got a WWE OTD on Twitter. What is the better card for you going into WrestleMania weekend, TakeOver or WrestleMania?
Well, I think we talked about TakeOver last week, didn't we? And I think neither of us were really that blown away by it.
Yeah, no, I actually think WrestleMania has got the better card this year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, WrestleMania for sure.
Ian Milne says, how happy is Finn that John Cena most likely won't be on WrestleMania?
Well, I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to do something. I don't
so
know.
So you're refusing to get the hope up? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want my hopes to be cruelly dashed. So I've kind of really got to a happy place now with John Cena, because mainly because I don't have to put up with him very often. So if he does turn up now and again, I can tolerate him for a night or two. So if he's there, I'm not really going to object to it. I'm not really going to... Well, I probably will rant about it afterwards.
Of course you will. That's what we're here for. Nathan Cowburn wants to know, who do you think will fare the best on the main roster out of the following three? Johnny Gargano, Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Well, I think Ricochet. I don't think... We talked about Johnny Gargano. Was it last week, Kenny? I think we talked about him quite a bit.
I think it was last week, yeah.
Yeah. I think Gargano is doomed on the main roster. I don't see a space for him there, as long as Vince McMahon's in charge. Aleister Black, I'm not really sure of his... I mean, he's done all right so far. Hasn't really gone anywhere yet. The thing with him, in order for this to work, is you've got to really go back to... I'm not expecting him to receive an Undertaker-style push circa 1990. That's not going to happen. But we need more character development. Well, we need some character development for Aleister Black. In order for him to go anywhere... He's got to really try and get this character over. And right now we just see this menacing figure. He's got this spooky entrance. You know, he's got all these tattoos, you know, and he does some good moves. But I mean, in order for him to get from where he is now to a place where the company's going to back him and really give him a push, they've got to then give him time to develop the character. And this is a big problem right now in WWE. We talked about this with the Revival and with lots of other people over the months and years. I mean, look at the situation, Kenny, with Mojo Rawley. I mean, is this the weirdest thing? Occasionally we see him backstage talking to himself in the mirror, saying, you're a failure, it's all down to you, you're the reason why I'm not a star. And then we don't see him again for weeks. And that, to me, just, you know, it's a microcosm of where we're at. You know, in the... characters are not developed. We're not given a chance to really get into, you know, the personalities and bond with them. And that's what we need. So Aleister Black, in order for him to get any further than he is right now, which is really kind of a filler spot that he's in, they've got to get behind that character. I'm not sure that Vince is ever really going to get that character. I just don't think he's going to. Ricochet, he's a flyer. The thing I don't like is already, and this is something WWE has done again and again over the years, feels to me like they've just said to him, right, well, we only want you doing a certain number of moves. You know, we only want you doing these things. We don't want you doing any more. So it already feels like they've put restrictions on him, but I still feel like he's somebody that can do well in this environment. You know, maybe intercontinental title level well. Because, you know, he's a really talented guy, as we know. He looks great. He's really smooth in the ring. He can do pretty much everything well. He's not bad on the mic. So Ricochet is my choice for somebody who's going to do the best out of those three. What do you think, Kenny?
I'm very boring answer, but I agree with you. I think Ricochet is probably the best chance. Aleister Black could do well if somehow Triple H can deal with his creative and Vince doesn't really have anything to do with it. But we know that's probably not going to happen. Michael Burns says, do you think there's any chance Charlotte may end up pulling double duty at WrestleMania, defending the SmackDown title early in the card, as well as being in the main event?
No.
I actually think it's a great idea. I think the problem is the card, you know, it would be great to add Charlotte and Asuka in the undercard, but there's just not enough time. So there's no way.
That's it. I mean, it's only a 9-hour show. I mean,
it's only a 19-hour show, yeah. Glenn Hawks wants to know, would it be wise for WWE to not call up anyone for a year and work with the talent they have and leave NXT and NXT UK to continue to grow without losing anyone from their rosters? Not a fan of calling people up for call-up's sake.
Yeah, I mean, you are right, because so many people have been called up and then they've done nothing with them. I mean, it was noticeable this week. I don't think Lacey Evans even got an entrance on Raw or SmackDown.
No, she didn't.
So, I mean, I think, I'm not sure if they really think that she's good enough. I think they see her as somebody who's going to be, who could be a huge star, but I don't know whether she's good enough in the ring to be that star that they want her to be. So they're definitely in full WrestleMania mode right now, where the expendable talents just aren't even getting a look in. I mean, wasn't it the weirdest thing, Kenny, after New Day won the gauntlet, Kofi Kingston comes out, they're all celebrating, and there was Kevin Owens at ringside applauding. And it was like, Kevin Owens, by all accounts, was the one who was supposed to face Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, as far as I can work out, is going to be in the Battle Royal. Doesn't even have a role at WrestleMania apart from that.
He is the victim, sadly, of the change of decisions.
Absolutely, he is. Even more than Mustafa Ali, who was never going to, you know, be on the WrestleMania card in a big match, but Kevin Owens could have been. So, yeah, it's a good point. You've got all this talent that they brought up that they've done nothing with. And when they do nothing with them, it sends the message to the public that they're not important. So they're better off not being there at all. So, yeah, I agree. You know, I think they really need to have a clear out of the Deadwood. I think there's a lot of characters, a lot of talent in WWE that they're never going to push. And as awful as it sounds, they just need to either find another role for them in the system, just need to cut them loose, because there's a lot of space taken up by people who are never going to be stars, and that space could be taken up by people who could be stars.
Good answer. What else have we got here? Let's go through, see if we get one or two more. Francis Reyes, what match would you like to see open the main show for WrestleMania this year?
I think possibly maybe Miz versus Shane McMahon. I think it needs to be, they like to open the show with a big energy match, don't they? I mean, the only drawback to that is if Shane does a big stunt, which he's probably going to do, then the next match he's not going to be able to follow it. But there's going to be a lot of that throughout the show anyway, because there's so many damn matches, and some matches don't matter as much as other matches. So maybe that, I don't know, really. Maybe the women's tag team title match. Maybe that would be a good way of opening the show, because I think it'll be a good match. I think people will be into it, and I don't think it will deliver too much that the next match or matches won't be able to follow it. What do you think, Kenny?
I think that one, or even AJ and Orton could open the show. Because if AJ and Orton have got a danger, if the show goes on, that they probably are not something you want to see later, but as an opener, they could probably do quite well.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think you're going to see any of the three title matches or the Roman Drew or Batista Triple H opening the show.
No, definitely not.
Kyle wants to know, after the Mania storylines play out, who would you guys like to see switch brands at the shake-up? I, for one, would love Lesnar to go to SmackDown to get him away from the Universal title forever. Which is a good idea. I mean, I think, sadly, Kyle, I think he's still going to have that belt come the shake-up, but there you go. Is there anyone you want to see jump brands at all?
Let me think. I think I'd like to see, I've talked already about Andrade, I think I'd like to see him over on Raw. I think he can be Intercontinental Champion. I think he can do well. I think he could be somebody who could have like a really good feud with Ricochet, for instance, that I think both could benefit from. Sheamus and Cesaro, they've definitely gone as far as they can on SmackDown. I'm not sure if there's really a future for that tag team. But there again, if they split up, I don't think either of them will be pushed as singles players. So I'd like to see Sheamus and Cesaro on Raw. I always think that's a team that could go further and do a lot more than it has. I know some people aren't fans of Sheamus. I think they're both great.
They're both a great team.
Yeah, I really enjoy them. I think they've got really good... I think they should get more mic time, as, let's face it, most people should in WWE. They've got all this TV time, but apparently there's no mic time for these guys. So I'd like to see them move over. You would think that... I don't know. It's tough, really, to say.
I'd like to see Asuka move to Raw.
There's going to be some movement there. I mean, but that's a tricky one because it depends, doesn't it, on whether or not Ronda's going to stick around. And if Ronda leaves, then I think Becky Lynch, who presumably is going to win the title or titles now, she will then become the lead female on Raw. So that then means, is Charlotte going to be there as well? Because that then means that they can't keep really endlessly recycling that feud. I don't really have huge, strong feelings about this. I would rather they just get... I mean, I guess maybe AJ Styles on Raw as well. Maybe AJ Styles?
Yeah, that could be a good one. I think they should try and have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on separate brands.
Yeah.
That would be good. There's plenty of stuff coming up.
I mean, Kevin Owens, who knows what's going to happen with him? I mean, been on Raw, and now he's on SmackDown, and they've got no role for him. So, I mean, he's in a tough spot. So, I don't know. I don't really have huge, strong feelings about the moving the talent round. They're better off just using the talent wisely, and they can do that regardless of which brand they're on.
Last question from James Mason. Reaction to a WrestleMania 9 ending this year with Roman in the Hogan role?
I don't see that happening. I just don't see them doing that. I just can't believe they will. Because I think Reigns has got a sporting chance of receiving cheers in the match with Drew McIntyre. And that's going to be seen as a huge, huge victory for WWE if people are cheering him when his match is over. So I can't imagine they're going to screw that up by sending him out there and giving him the Universal title. No, I don't see that happening. What do you think, Kenny?
No, I think it's possible. I mean, if it was up to me, if you're going to keep the title on Lesnar and you're going to give it to Roman, I'd rather you just did it the night after WrestleMania on Raw and have a huge moment.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it extend anymore, but... yeah. So that's it for us here on the main show. Yeah, you can head over to patreon.com/insidetheropes to get more content from us, bonus articles, an overrun with us, retro heat podcast, retro pay-per-view reviews, main pay-per-view reviews, and much, much more. Finn, where can people go to find you to buy an ebook or see your lovely face?
They can find me on Twitter at Finlay Martin. My website's finlaymartin.co.uk. I haven't updated it for a while. Hopefully we'll do soon. So, should mention as well, obviously, I'll be doing Dustin Rhodes interview. Also interviewed Katrina Waters this week, Kenny, for a future Inside the Ropes written interview. So I think people will enjoy that. So they'll be going up over the next few weeks, the interview with Dustin and with Katrina.
There you go. So hopefully we get the Dustin one maybe before WrestleMania. And then we'll see Katrina in April. You can also go to youtube.com/insidetheropes for interview content. We've got Chris Jericho interviews up there, Dave Meltzer, Triple H, all these different people. And next week we're going to be in New York getting interviews with many, many people. So we hope that you will check us out over there. We are almost at 70,000 subscribers over there. So go ahead and join the fun. Finn, thank you very much as always.
Thank you for having me, Kenny. And next time we speak, you will be in the States for WrestleMania.
I will be, unless the plane crashes and I die. But otherwise, I'll be there. So, we'll see you next week, everybody. Bye! If I be tonight, if I am sad tonight.